Well, good morning. My name is Griff Carosello, and I am the discipleship pastor at Covenant United Methodist up in Greer, just like Pastor Michael just said. And it is an absolute pleasure to be worshiping with you this morning. We here in the Greenville County area appreciate the witness that Advent United Methodist is able to offer us, but also within the United Methodist Church as well. One of my friends was down at Salkehatchee this week, and they were driving back in our church bus when our church bus ended up breaking down. And we had a bit of a problem because there were kids on the bus and they were kind of stuck on their way back. But it was Advent United Methodist who gave our kids a ride, left my friends behind, but, you know, but they eventually got home, I think. But it's that kind of witness that we appreciate so much from Advent as the United Methodist Church and continuing to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. So it is an absolute blessing to be here with you this morning. So would you please pray with me? Father Almighty, we come before you to hear a word from you. And so we ask that you will speak through me, with me, and even in spite of me. And we ask that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ will be preached above all else, and that your spirit will be present here. We ask all this in your great name. Amen. So when I was younger, my family and I would go on a lot of camping trips. And one of the things that we would do is while we were camping, we'd also go on some hiking trips as well. This was something that we absolutely loved doing. And one of the highlights of my childhood was an opportunity to go backpacking in Montana in the Big Sky Country in Glacier National Park. And I was in fourth grade. I didn't really appreciate it at the time, but the hiking trip was one of those things that I greatly appreciated and was enjoying throughout the whole entire time. One of the peculiar things about hiking is the idea that it is something that you do have to learn. And that was something that I learned throughout my hikes with my family, also hikes with the Boy Scouts and all sorts of other things, is that there were absolutely skills that you had to learn on the trail in order to reach your final destination or to reach your final destination as safely as you possibly could. Now, with hiking, it's often, you know, you want to get to the top of the mountain or you want to get to where that view is. But that metaphor for hiking or that walk, that journey for us as Christians takes a whole nother meaning because our destination is, for one, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being made perfect and God's grace continually transforming us and continually taking us and making us more and more like Jesus Christ. And so that metaphor of the journey has been something that has been used throughout church history to describe what it means to be a Christian. And so I want to invite you to turn to Romans chapter 6 if you have brought your Bible this morning. If not, I'm going to read Romans 6, chapter 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin, but if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, as usual, Paul is one of those Christians that always is a little bit more dense than what we would like him to be. He's always in his head, and sometimes his passages are so meaty that there is just so much that you can take out of this passage. But one of the things that I think that we can all take is Paul is getting at a little bit more of what is it to me? What does it mean to live as a Christian? And specifically, what does it mean to live as a Christian in light of the cross and resurrection, in light of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ? So what does it mean for us to live as Christians? Now, in the previous passage in Romans chapter 5, Paul unloads on the Roman Christians, talking about how Jesus Christ has brought about this grace, this free gift of grace, so that you and I can live a life that is free from sin. But here in Romans chapter 6, what we find is that Paul is asking that question. So how then are we supposed to live? And quite frankly, I think it can be summed up really quickly, is that the work of grace in our life is to die to sin. Or in other words, learning how to live a life like a Christian means first and foremost learning how to die from sin. Now, when we start talking about death and dying, sometimes we don't really know what to do with that. You know, either Americans absolutely fear death or they're absolutely obsessed with death. There's really nothing in between for Americans. We either don't want to talk about it or we obsess over it and talk about it all the time. Now, the thing is, with Christians, death is something that we live through every single day, or at least according to Paul, that's how we should be living every single day. That we should be living a life that we die to sin every single day. But what does it mean to live to sin? Well, to live to sin means to live according to what sin desires of us. The same thing that it means to live to God's will is the same thing that it means to live to sin. That we obey sin, that we make sin our master, that we are slaves to sin, and we do everything we can to obey the desires of sin. All of us at one point in our lives have to come to terms with the fact that in our human nature is that sinful nature, that selfish desire that always tries to pull us away from God. But it doesn't only just pull us away from God, it also causes us to separate others from God too. Because if we are Christians living on in sin, it is our witness that is tainted by those who are watching us. And that's what Paul is getting at, is how can Christians go on living in sin? Do you not know that they have died to sin? Do they not know that they have died to sin? Well, the tricky thing is that while you can die to sin once and for all, the daily walk of Christians is to die to it every single day. For those who have died to sin, it means that they have repented of their sins and are choosing to follow Jesus Christ. For those who have died to sin, it means that they are no longer obeying sin's will and sin's desires for their life. But rather, that since they have died to sin and that their old self has been crucified with Christ, that they are now made alive in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is getting at here. Is that when you and I die to sin and make that commitment to die to sin, it is through the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead that you and I will be raised from the dead. It's a part of the Christian journey. You know, there's always a temptation to follow our selfish desires, to follow our agendas that we have chosen to follow. But the duty of a Christian, the journey of the Christian, to walk in the newness of life, as Paul says in our passage earlier, is to continually die to our selfish desires, to continually die to those sinful desires, and obey the will of God. Now, God calls us to come and die, but obviously God just doesn't leave us there. God doesn't just call us to come and die. God doesn't just call us to come and carry our cross daily. What God calls us to is to come and die and to be raised to new life. For in our passage it says, if we are united in a death like Christ, we will be united in a resurrection like His. But oftentimes what we think is that resurrection means in those final days, those days that we get to heaven, that final destination that we all yearn for, is that we think that we can't live within the resurrection until that day. But you see, what Paul is getting at in our passage is that Christians are not called just to live for that final destination that is so far off that who knows when it's going to come. Instead, what Paul calls us to do is to live within the resurrection right now, to live as people who have been redeemed by God's grace, set free from the power of sin, and people who are charged by the Holy Spirit to go out and make disciples of Jesus Christ. The point is that Christians no longer belong in this world. They no longer belong to this world, for they have died to sin. They have died to sin, so the ownership of this world is no longer, our ownership no longer rests with the world. Instead, our ownership rests with God. And then at this time, right here and right now, when we die to sin, God's glory and God's power will raise us from the dead. Not to walk in the newness of life in tomorrow, not to walk in the resurrection maybe the next day, but walk in the resurrection, in the new life, in the grace and power of Jesus Christ here and now. For it's in baptism that our solidarity with sin, our allegiance to sin is crushed. It is broken. And it is in baptism that our solidarity with God and with Jesus Christ begins. That the ownership changes from our ownership, from us being owned by this world to us being owned and marked by the love of God. To go out into the world to continue to announce Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and that everything has changed. And so learning how to be a Christian means learning first and foremost how to die to sin. That we repent of our sins each and every day. But we also make a declaration that we are God's. That we are no longer our own, but we belong to God. And it is not our will that needs to be done, but it is God's will that needs to be done. When I was younger, I grew up as a Catholic, and eventually I left the church and wanted nothing to do with the church. Eventually, through a series of circumstances, I was invited to go to a large church, and there was the moment where God found me. That as I was felt like I was searching for God, that was the moment that God found me, and I felt like my sins were covered by His grace and His love. And at that point, what I was told in that church was, "You're done. That's it. That's all you needed to do. You now have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You're done. You've arrived." Well, I went off to college. I went to Newberry College and started studying religion and church leadership there, and ended up going to a lot of different churches, but never found a church that I felt like I was at home. It wasn't until I found a Methodist church that I began to find what I was looking for. Because you see, as Methodists, we don't believe that salvation is just one moment. We don't believe that we were saved. We believe that we are continuously being saved. And it was here in this Methodist church that the pastor there challenged me to continue to grow deeper in my faith, to continue to die to my sins each and every day, and to walk in the newness of life, doing things such as reading the Bible daily, praying to God daily, attending church on a regular basis. Because I'll be honest, I wasn't attending regularly before I went to that church. Serving regularly. It is through those actions that our world often finds countercultural, those actions that we are at odds with the world, that we continuously die to sin and are made alive in Jesus Christ. Because the point and purpose of the mercy of God is for one, to break the chains of sins in our lives, to cure us of that disease of sin. But second, that when we are made alive in Jesus Christ, when we experience the love of God that is in our hearts, we can't keep it to ourselves. We can't hold it in. And so Jesus' disciples, those people that are resurrected people, the people that were called Christians, are now charged to go out into the world to change the world. Because we no longer belong to this world, but we belong to God. The work of grace is so that we can die to sin, but also learning how to live a life like Christ means that we have to die to sin each and every day. That there is a death each and every day that we say, I am dead to my sin, but I am alive in Christ. And another one of Paul's passages, he puts it this way. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. So when we die to sin and we die to ourselves, it is no longer us who live, but it is God's grace and God who lives in us, who continually pushes us outward to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Would you pray with me? God, our Father, we come before you this day, carrying the weight of our sin, carrying the symptoms of our sin. And we ask that your grace will cover our sin, that we will be able to die to our sin, and that through your grace and through your power and through your love, that we will be made alive in Jesus Christ, to be disciples of Jesus Christ. To be on this journey to become more and more like Christ. Lord, we continue to ask that you shower us with your love and shower us with your grace. For we desire to become more and more like you. Walk with us in this journey. Walk with us in this newness of life that Paul talks about. Give us the grace to be your people. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Will you stand with us?